Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree,
and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome everyone to season 16, episode 1, 2, and 3. We want to give a quick heads up. Our audio might sound a little different today. As you'll hear later in the episode, we go into a long, winding story about a mattress, and we tried recording it 5 times before we got there, because my audio kept disconnecting. So we're on one mic today.
Yeah, there's even a jump scare moment. So I would make sure the beginning half of the mattress story, keep your volume low.
Yeah, yeah. I scream like Mrs. Doubtfire. But
you won't know when.
You won't, but it comes up. And then Jake screams. Oh, shit.
It's fine. No, we have a special guest, Jake. You'll hear him coming up. We tease this.
Cut that. Teased
it on the Instagram.
Oh, you're right.
But anyway, so if this is your first time listening, Jake is not normally on the podcast. It's usually just Bree and I deep diving every episode of Grey's. We are a spoilers podcast. So mm-hmm. If you've not watched all of Grey's Anatomy, please go back and do that first or else we will ruin many things for you. And yeah, again, apologize for our audio.
Yeah. Do we have it on the right thing?
It's
on the circle.
We will take a pause before we get into the Grey's talk, but it's okay for right now.
Okay. So if you want to support us, you can support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or attending. That is really the only reason that we are on season 16 of this podcast is because of all of our wonderful patrons who have supported us monetarily, because yeah, it is not cheap to put out a podcast. So thank you, everyone. And in return for supporting us, you get different benefits. If you're a $2 patron, you can join the Facebook group. $5 patrons get a bonus episode, maybe another story about a mattress.
Yeah.
And $10 attendings, we're going to have a Zoom holiday party. And then also you get post-op, which tonight, what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about Jackson and Vic.
Yes. So make sure you stick around for that if you're a $10 patron when we call time of death. If you're on the Patreon app or have it in your RSS feed, you'll hear.
Look at you, tech girl.
You'll hear a post-op.
Yeah, so we're going to take a pause here for a second and break right into the story.
Yeah.
It's quite long, so buckle up. Yeah. And then we'll be back after that for some Grey's Anatomy chatter. So stay tuned.
Okay, so we have a special guest scrubbing in with us for the intro today. Everyone, welcome Abby's husband, Jake.
Hi, everyone.
Yay.
I wish you all could see us. I'm sure you heard in the intro, but we are having audio difficulties. So we are all as close as you can get at the kitty corner.
I feel like a small gerbil or something, the way that we're all, I don't know. This is not, I wanted to show Jake like how professional we are with the podcast, and we really haven't done that.
Well, this is the first impression, and you know what everybody says about first impressions.
This story has bad juju.
Clearly. I mean, this is our fifth time trying to record this, and yeah, I just touched your knee.
It's fine. There's not a lot of space under
this
table.
Probably won't be the last time.
Just don't hit the top of the table.
I'm not.
He's trying the best he can. Okay. You guys got a new mattress.
Yeah. We've repeated this story so many times, although I'm going to tell it like y'all have never heard it before. Okay.
How old is your current mattress?
Okay, our current mattress is 20 to 25 years old. My mom had it. My brother had it. This is actually great. We talked about we should edit the podcast. This really makes you edit the story down, like to what's important. And what's important is that Jake and I went on an adventure last night.
We really adulted and we bought our first adult mattress.
Yeah.
Tell your thing about crime.
Oh, yeah. Well, you missed it with the rough drafts before this, but it was more or less just Abby went to go look at a mattress store and try out some mattresses. And I never understood the whole thing about having actual mattress stores, because I am convinced they are fronts for organized crime, because realistically, how many mattresses have you bought in the last 5 years? Probably zero.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how they stay in business. And I doubt they're selling 400 mattresses a day. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There, the mob runs it.
Well, I also think too, with like mattress stores, I feel like so many more people are ordering online, especially with like 100-day free trial or whatever. Same with vacuum cleaner stores.
Yes, also a front for organized crime.
100%.
They do give you the same sleep trial in the store. I learned that.
So what's...
Except not really, because then they make you pay a restocking fee or you have to use the money toward...
Okay, but so what's the point of buying in person then?
You get to try it out.
But you also get to lay on it if you buy it and sleep on it.
You know what else you get to do, listeners? You get to lay on a mattress and try...
Oh my God! What the...
Nope,
that wasn't dust.
No, I think it was.
Where's your flashlight?
Because there was, I saw earlier today, there was dust up there. Oh my God.
You everyone.
Guys, we can't tell this story.
We are. Okay, listeners, something came down from the sky like a spider on a web, and we all evacuated. I really think
it was dust.
But where is the dust?
Or the gigantic spider that it was quickly crawled away.
Nope, that's Bree's clog. This story is truly cursed.
Where were we about?
I was about to say the good thing about if you want to lay and try on a mattress, you can do it the way Jake and I did, but which we haven't told you yet.
Because you haven't heard the story, so of course you haven't heard it yet.
Okay, so I got so frustrated, I was ready to do it, and then a friend of mine who lives in Atlanta...
Do it, like pull the trigger?
Pull the trigger, buy the mattress.
The really expensive part of, like, the just contacting, like, a Casper or...
Yeah, I was just going to do Casper, have them deliver it, pay for the delivery fee for the... I was going to do the whole shebang. And then I panicked, because it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And my friend Michaela goes, oh, my husband and I always just... look on Facebook Marketplace and there's all these rich people that get a mattress and then they don't like it and they get rid of it. And I was like, oh, I should check. And I went on Marketplace and I searched Casper King, whatever. And there was like 12. And I was like, what? Like, and so I clicked on them. And then in the about, it was basically, it said had been slept on for less than 100 days. Like this was, these are people who sell the ones that you return.
Okay.
So if you, okay. Yeah, so it's like that 100-day trial. I always thought Casper took it back. They don't. They have these people, these minions that like work.
Mattress army.
Yes, that work for not just one. Like this woman who we will talk about in a moment had like Purple, Casper, Tuft and Needle, Winky or okay. DreamWorks. That's
the video game company.
They made Shrek. Okay, she did all of them. So I reached out to this one lady and she was selling what was the highest end Casper, which is $3,400. She was selling it for $650.
Okay, that something feels off.
It said used like new. That was the condition.
Okay.
And I reached out and she said, you know, we take off the cover, we wash it, and then we sanitize the, however, I don't care, the mattress. No, it's not. She said for most people, it's been used for less than 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I was like, eh. And then I was like, fuck it. Our mattress is 25 years old and we sleep at hotels.
We sleep at Airbnbs. Like,
right.
Someone buying a $3,400 mattress also and returning it because they don't like it, they probably like live in a decent home. Not that that would matter, but it's probably clean, I guess is clean. My point.
Because the biggest thing I would be afraid about, bed bugs.
Jake, you know about bed bugs.
I know all about bed bugs. And
he's not had them.
I have not had them.
It's okay if you have.
But it is, I know it happens. In like cities often. Uh-huh.
PSA, burn your house down if you get bed bugs.
Yeah, like it's really hard to get rid of them, right?
You have to heat your house up to like 180 degrees.
Does your house just spontaneously combust then if you turn it up to 180 degrees?
Yeah. But it's very scary because it just like spreads.
You can't get rid of them.
So what do they get onto like your couch and like
your couch, clothes. Your clothes, they get in your hair.
Oh no.
They live in your closets, they live under the bed. Like I've had patients that I've picked up and like I've had to like flick them off their shoulders and it's not great. It's just a bad situation.
How do you get up?
Coming in contact with somebody.
Who has them?
Yeah.
Okay. Who brought them here first?
I don't have them.
On planet Earth.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so I said to Jake, this seems crazy, but like it also makes sense because where do these mattresses go?
Right.
And so I should pull up the conversation, but basically this woman, I was like, okay, we're interested. How about we like found an evening that it worked? And she was like, okay, great. She lives. Then this is where the kicker was. She said, I live in a little.
Well, we had to drive 45 minutes out of the city and go to the country in the middle of
the night.
the night.
It was 3 in the morning. It was the only time she was available.
It was 7 p.m. that we were supposed to meet her, and I am driving down country roads.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
Extremely scary. There is not
she
a
She does
light.
Offer delivery, but oh. I wanted to lay on it.
Okay.
And she said that she would have a space with a, like, it laid out so you could try it.
Well, and two, originally we were like, we're tired. I don't want to go this late at night. And Abby's like, can we just come tomorrow? And she's like, oh, that's a shame. I had my son set up the bed for you and everything. And I'm like, what is going on?
But this was the part that I heard first. She said, we live in a church and we use the entry and for display and testing out mattresses. So we live in a church.
Already, what the fuck is going on?
Right, exactly. And then in the directions...
At this point, did you think this is, I'm going to get murdered?
Not yet, because at this point, though, I was just like fascinated by, oh, this is what happens to these. We are overpaying for mattresses.
Okay.
Because if they can afford to lose it for probably $100, she buys it from the company if it's in good shape, probably $100. For her to only make $500... To go, she drives to Chicago to pick them up sometimes.
Okay, so she buys these mattresses for $100.
Probably. It's got to be some, her profit margin, if she's only selling it for $650, you'd think at least double. She can't be selling them or buying them for more than $300. It wouldn't be worth it to her.
Right, to drive to different cities.
Exactly.
Well, she told us, she was like, yeah, so I'm partnered with all of these different mattress companies, and we probably get around my area 2 to 3 returns a week. She's like, that's not substantial inventory. I'm like, it's not? And she goes, no, but once a month we rent a U-Haul and we go to Chicago and we fill up the U-Haul full of mattresses.
Also, each mattress company has different profit margins. So they tell you what you can price it at. She's not setting these prices.
Okay.
Like there was, she was like Casper, or there was one that was like, this one has a better profit margin. Like Purple charges a lot. Like she still has to charge quite a bit for Purple mattresses.
How much? Okay, keep going.
So then this was the part. She said, she was giving me directions. She says, we live in a little church in front of the big First Baptist Church of said city.
Okay, so she lives in a tiny church in front of a big church. Is the tiny church associated with the big church?
Not anymore, because guess what? She bought it and it is a home.
When she bought it, did they know she was going to turn it into a home?
Yes. Okay, so we'll get to that.
Okay, yeah. All right. I'm asking too many questions.
No, keep going. So we get there and it's pitch black, not a street light. It is so that they do have Christmas decor out, like Christmas lights.
And I think as I pulled in, I made Abby text Brie. I was like, tell Brie, this is where we're at. Drop a pin.
Yep.
Say if you don't hear from us in an hour, you need to come find us.
Call the police.
I also told her we had McCoy with us, and I loved Bree's response was, we will love him as our own.
Yeah, I'm going to go pick him up. It would be fine.
I had also, on the way there, I did like a whole scenario in my head where I was like, okay, so we are both grabbed, Jake and I. Like somehow I'm able to free myself. Do I like try to fight and get Jake out, or do I just go outside and run? And I chose
But where
to
would
run.
You run to?
No, I told, for the a record, house. I told Abby to run.
Yeah, just go to a house.
But were there houses out there?
I could have found one.
Yeah. There's a church right behind this church, so she would have been safe.
Okay. All right. Fair.
And so we walk in, we knock on the door. There's like, all are welcome.
Yeah.
Holier
well,
than thou.
You are literally knocking on like the storm doors of the outside of a church. You're just like, gong, gong, gong.
Oh my God. Is it like midnight mass?
I wish I'd taken more photos. And we walk in, or she answers the door. A child answers the door.
And Abby goes, oh, hi, are you the one I talked to? And she goes, no.
No, that's my mom.
That's my mom. So come on in.
The entryway has a Christmas tree, like nativity. There's a family, or like a drawing of a couple. There's a church coat rack that has like all
their
these
coats.
Like coats on it. And the mom comes out and she's like,
normal.
She looks like her Facebook photo, whatever. And there's children that's like passing us, like middle school age children, I would say. And come to find out, she has 8 children.
Nine children.
Oh, one has moved out.
Yes.
I'm not going to use any of their names. I do know about half of their names, though, because she told us so much about her
life. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So anyways, the mattress is sitting there. It's covered in plastic, which is great. It looks dope. It's super in good shape. We lay on it. It's comfy.
First we lay on it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, first we laid on it wrong. She goes, actually, your heads have to be that way. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is super comfy. She's like, you're actually laying on it wrong. I go, oh, yeah, fuck me, right?
And it did make a difference. It's a zoned mattress. It's different.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, then I asked the question, what mattress do you sleep on? Like, you must have a good mattress.
And right.
So then we got into the Branch. She sleeps on a Purple.
Purple 4.
Yeah, Purple 4. And then I was like, I'm curious about Purples. They're made of this new technology. Mm-hmm. It gets, and I was like, do you have some? And she did. She had two Kings, Purples, different ones. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. We should try to lay on more than one just to like make sure that we like it, you know?
Right, right.
And so—
I mean, you're at the church mattress store. You might as well.
Exactly. And she then goes, sorry, just a second. I'm going to holler.
Yeah. And then I'm going to, well, as she's sitting on our bed that we are going to purchase, she's
right,
just
sure.
sitting there, goes, oh, sorry, let me call my kids. Let me use different names. She's like, Abel, Kim, Stephanie,
yeah.
Get up here.
Yeah. She yells to the three of them and they come up and they had to go fetch the two King mattresses that we wanted. And that's when we saw
child. Labor.
That's when we saw. No, I learned they do get a cut of it. I said, you guys better get a cut. And she goes, oh, they do. Unless she was lying.
She was lying.
But then she opened the door and we could see into what was like the church auditorium.
Like where the
pews, sanctuary.
The pews would be.
Yeah, the sanctuary.
Yeah. She called it an auditorium.
That's
because
not,
it's not a church.
That can't be right.
Yeah.
The auditorium.
It sort of looked more like a youth group church. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, maybe.
Like,
okay, sure.
Because I really think it was an auditorium. It reminded me of Camp Geneva. There's like a stage in the front.
Okay, sure.
But anyways, and it just mattresses all as far as the eye could
she see. She had probably 80 mattresses just stacked up.
Yep.
Different sizes?
Yep.
Different sizes.
She all had, plastic.
All had bed for like she had bed frames stacked up. There's also weird amount of like garden tools, like leaf blowers.
Oh, yeah, she kept being like, why is this leaf blower here?
And car jacks and...
But yeah, so they bring out the mattresses. We got to lay in a couple more.
But like the kids, you can hear them like behind the door. She's like, Abel, no!
Not yelling in a mean way.
No,
she was like, I just want to point that out. She was not mean to her children by any means.
She's like, I don't care. They don't need to be standing up. Just let them fall. And she's like, hurry up. And then she's dragging out the first Purple. She's like, hey guys, yeah, this one, the nickname for this one's a 254 pound wet noodle.
Yeah, because these new mattresses are like floppy.
Oh, and heavy?
Yeah. And so she laid it out. We tried it. I felt bad. We ended up liking the first one more.
But you didn't get the Purple.
No, but I thought it was great that we got to try it.
Right.
Because they're not sold online.
Oh, they're not.
Or I mean, they're only sold online. Like,
oh,
sorry.
Not sold online.
I could have liked that second one. That was a good
one. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But anyways, so we decide we're going to go with the first one. And then, but this whole time she's just telling us about her life in this. And like that, this is where it got we're going to get a little Michigan political for a moment. Mm-hmm. Because right away she made her
state. She said she doesn't like Whitmer.
Yes. Yes. How did you know?
Because she sells mattresses out of a church.
Well, because she's a real estate agent also. And she said, what did she say? She phrased it like, when the governor told us we weren't essential.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, it doesn't matter because I'm a realtor and, you know, whether people have houses or not doesn't really matter. So I found the next best thing. And my husband's a builder and I'm a realtor. So we couldn't do that. So we found this.
Yeah. She was very anti-Whitmer. Which then I was like, okay, I'm getting a clearer picture here.
Right.
And I felt bad because I felt like she was saying things about Whitmer with us to be like, yeah.
Well, of course she was. But the thing that makes me, and I don't know this woman, but like, I feel like if you like put that out there once and people don't like bite, then maybe just don't keep talking about it. Because clearly,
I want to be like Big Gretch. I love her.
I love Big Gretch. Yeah.
Clearly missed this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
what'd she look like? Did she have
She was short,
big hair?
Naturally graying hair that was like well done.
But she was a blonde. She was a blonde.
Yep. I'm going to say she was like a cute lady.
Like middle-aged woman.
Yeah. She wasn't like scary looking. You know, there was nothing about her that like made me in fear.
Okay. I have, keep going and then I'll. You bought it.
Because we brought my truck on purpose. Like, we're like, yeah, it's a mattress. We have to put it in the truck. And
right.
We're like, no, we can just haul it out. And she's like, no, I insist. We're folding this thing.
Yeah, so they fold it. That's how, I mean, she sent me a photo. I don't know if you can see here of how they pack them into their cars. Here's a picture of her car with them folded in half.
Oh, my God.
These new mattresses come in a box. These are the ones that you get, like.
Right.
So, anyways, so you can fold it.
I don't think ours could do that because it's part spring, part.
This has springs, but have these new springs, you're allowed to do that.
Okay, all right.
But she insisted that we do not leave it unfolded. She's like, we are folding it and I'm taping it up. And
Which was nice. Do they have like a machine to fold
just,
it?
Or
no.
Just the give children? Me the, she kept saying, give me the gun. It's a tape gun. You know, like a...
Yeah.
Oh.
So when she kept saying, give me the gun, me and Abby were like, what?
Give me the gun.
But like, she made all of her kids be like... Abel, come lay on this. And
we're saying Abel because that wasn't his name, but if you know the Bible and you know the partner of that, that was his name.
Well, you just said his name then. You
okay,
said
well, you weren't gonna... some people won't know.
Well, okay.
But like they laid on it and she would just go like, whoop, whoop, and would just like taping
Jake's
like crazy.
Jake's doing actions. Yeah, he's like, putting tape
if you can see me, I'm doing the tape gun right now.
I love how you're saying if you can see me and you're looking at the microphone. If you guys, if you can see
Wink
me.
Twice.
Okay.
Where it got wild was when Jake was putting the matches.
Where it got wild? No.
Is when I made the mistake of asking a question.
Well, so I'm tying this mattress down in the truck and I'm probably gone, what, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
And I was like, Abs, I got this. I'll tie it down. You can go in and pay. And she's like, okay, great. 10 minutes goes by. I check on the dog. He's freaking out because it's probably super bad energy. And I go in and what did we say her name was? We didn't.
Mary Lou.
We're going to call her Mary Lou.
Mary Lou is telling Abby about how she got the church.
I want to start this by saying I asked the question, so how did you end up in this church?
Bad idea, Abby.
I was curious.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you did ask because I want to know too.
Right. But, and I'm going to, here's what I'll say about her story that is like actually very sad is she came from an abusive relationship where the 9 children came from. The father, yes. And so she left him. She eventually was able to leave him, but it was very bad in the terms of like, she did not have money.
Yeah.
I learned in the state of Michigan, legally, men only have to cover child support for 5, no more than 5. So like, even if you-
Children?
Yeah. So even if you have 9, they're monetarily only responsible for 5.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. So anyway, she got the heck out of wherever she was. I also learned in the next sentence that her mother died 2 weeks after.
Sure.
Like I learned about when they were weeping, her and her family together. And then her childhood, like love and best friend asked if he could come and sit by them. And he did. And he held her and she didn't want him to let go.
It's
and
a
guess
story.
What? She never has. They are married.
And they sleep on a purple +4.
And
he loves it.
And he loves it. And they live in a church. So how did...
I don't want to make the story as long as she made it for me. Because honestly, it wasn't that exciting. It was just long and painful.
Yeah.
It went through about three times. Of
Bible verses.
Basically, where you think she's going to get, the lenders are going to let her have a mortgage.
Sure.
And then they don't.
Okay.
And then she thinks they are. And
they
then
don't.
They don't. And then one more time, like she's like, I went in and they don't. And then there was a lot about her ex-husband in there too that I just felt like I didn't need to know.
Sure. Overshare.
Overshare. And then we learned that her
Becky. Becky, her realtor.
Her mortgage
lender.
Who was she partners with?
Oh, yeah. Because she is a realtor. Remember that?
Pulled her into her office and she was afraid. You know, she didn't know what it was gonna be about. She thought the deal was dead. And offered to buy that church for her, and then she would lease it. And when she had enough money and she was able to find a lender, she could buy it from her.
And in case anybody's wondering, we found out from, what did we call her again?
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, if you need an obscure property
like
loan.
A unique property
loan. Unique property loan, Mercantile Bank is your bank. Not a sponsor.
They offer unique property loans.
So, yeah. Is it because, like, these banks wouldn't give that because it's a church?
Yeah, and then that the insurance was so high.
Why did she want to live in a
church?
Well,
her new love is a builder, and he has renovated a church to be a home before. And so she asked him, are you in it for the long haul? Will you do this for me?
And he was.
And he was, and he did.
So is it nice of him?
I didn't see.
I honestly wanted
a tour, but I was afraid I wouldn't come
okay,
up
so
from the
Okay, so you
basement.
Were just in, like, the...
An entryway. The co-rack.
Like, the showing room. Like,
yes.
You didn't see their house.
No, it's like you walked in. It was literally like where you'd walk in a church, the coat racks on your right. There was a bathroom, like right there.
Which her children used right in front of us too.
And then down to right to your left were stairs to the basement that's where all the children were coming from. So I assume the under, the it's a small
It's the
church.
Underbelly? Is yeah, where they live?
In the abbey.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, no, because the only thing upstairs is that auditorium. I don't think there's...
Full of mattresses.
I don't think there's other rooms. I think it's the... Like, it reminds me of where I went to youth group, First Press. Like, downstairs yeah. is where all the offices and the whatever.
Right, but wouldn't that be scary to live in, like, a
I'm
basement?
Fucking sure it would be.
Like, I don't want to live down no. underground.
And then I didn't even get into the part where somehow... Oh, because Jake mentioned that he was a paramedic.
Yeah, and I'm not proud of this, so... I mentioned that I'm a paramedic because maybe she'll knock 50 bucks off because thank you for your service. I throw that around every once in a while.
You should have been sure. like, my job was essential.
Yeah.
but that led into us learning about at least three or four of her children's health history, which one of them has this thing that when you get scared or something, your blood pressure drops. And
vasovagal.
Isn't that what goats have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They all like fainting goats.
Three to four of her children have this. And one.
So they can't get spooked, but they live in a church basement?
Yeah. And one, like at the movie theater on a date with his wife, he like died for a few minutes.
They were like, yeah, my eldest, Frank, he just dies.
Oh
and
my
I'm
God.
Just like,
and I thought she'd tell one example, and then she told one, and then like she
went
told
on to
another.
The next kid.
And then I had at some point, Jake and I kept backing up. I had my hand on the door.
Oh, and no. She kept following us.
Yeah, she's
how did
going.
You get out of there?
Well,
kind of like the Midwest. Oh,
well,
gotta go.
It was to a lot of like Abby put her hand on the door, but then I pulled out my car keys.
Yeah.
And I was literally itching my face with my car keys.
Yeah. Yeah.
To kind of like say, hey, we're done. It's
tell eight. Them what you almost did to me. You almost were gonna be like
leave her there.
Oh, yes. I was almost gonna be like, Ebs, I got a phone call, I'll meet you in the truck.
<Fuck you. laughs> But yeah.
Then, like, as she's
Jake
like,
just drives home with the mattress, Abby oh becomes God, one of the workers. That's how
she has all the
really,
children.
Yeah, it's not really her
I
children.
Know.
They're just
her
left
children
there.
Seem normal.
They're just left behind from parents who are like, we gotta go.
You were one of them.
I literally had a moment where I was like, okay, so if I am kidnapped and I have to live here, I just need to, like, she likes to be heard. So just, like, empathize with her stories.
Yeah.
Like, I was already figuring out how to, like, make her think I'm under her control.
But the crazy thing, though, too, is, like, as we were walking out the door, she was still talking to us and was, like, still, like, following us out.
I gotta get a light out here. I did have a light, but then
oh, what do you think of my Christmas decorations?
Yeah, like, followed us out.
That's like a dog.
Yeah. Yes.
100%. And just, like, can't really read the room that, like, we're done.
The deal is done. You have my, I paid her. It went through. I have a receipt. I think we want to frame the receipt because it was such a memorable, it's a handwritten receipt.
I'm wondering if she felt super comfortable, though, too, because I was dressed like a Trojan horse.
Oh, yeah. The Republican Trojan horse that dress Jake sometimes is.
What?
I dress as a Republican Trojan horse.
We think you are a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
What is it? I don't know what this
is. Do you know what a Trojan horse is? Like from history where they snuck an army.
Oh, yeah.
Jake comes off, appears one way.
Oh, but he's not, actually.
But he's not.
I get it.
Like in his workforce, who he hangs out with at work.
Yes,
he's like intel.
Yes.
But anyways.
But for the audience, if you are a Republican, that's totally fine.
You probably don't listen to our podcast. But
yeah, so anyways, it was just wild. And then Jake and I got in the car and like died laughing. And we're like, holy shit, we have a mattress. And we slept on it. And it was
How was the sleep?
Well, the sleep was great, but time out.
Oh.
Because as we're driving down the pitch black road, I really have to use the restroom. And I pull off into the gas station. And Abby's like, ooh, I'm going to see if they have my pretzels.
I've been craving Dots mustard pretzels.
Yeah, okay.
So
very specific.
We go to the bathroom. Yeah. Abby finds her thing. And
is the dog still freaking out?
No,
he's just fine.
He's just fine.
But like, Abby, I want to find a snack because Abby found a snack.
Because you have a 45-minute drive ahead of you.
Yeah. And she's like, hurry up. Like, this is taking way too long. I'm like, hold on. Like, I want my snack. And I go up. And all of a sudden, like, the cashier is just way too friendly. She's like, hello. Hi. Is that going to be it for you today?
Oh, no.
And I just kind of look like wide-eyed and just like nod my head. And then I realize what's playing over the loudspeaker is Funky Town. And I just put my head down and just shake. And I just grab
shakes
my...
like a chihuahua.
I just grab my Sour Patch Kids and my... in my drink and I just walk out and I go, this can't get any worse.
No, that, like, you sound, it sounds like you were in a really bad neighborhood, but not for the reason you would think.
I think we, like, this would be like,
it's like farmland.
Me and Abby's kind of like,
Twilight Zone?
Are upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had a thought. I don't want either of you to take offense to this. In the alternate reality that you guys make,
we would be selling mattresses together.
Not in a church, though.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah, we would be.
Oh, I also.
Hell yeah, brother.
Guess how much she's made this year? Because don't worry, she told me.
That's insane, first of all.
$38,000.
Selling mattresses.
That's because it's her part time gig.
That's a lot of money for a part time gig. Should I start selling mattresses?
I'm in with you.
Yeah. Oh, we can sell them in my garage.
Oh, yeah, because you have to interview for this. Like, you have to call Casper. And
oh,
that was the little part that she did tell us. Like, she found somehow the application online, but you can't have too many of the, as she calls them, reps. Too many reps.
Around the area.
Around the area.
You would saturate it. Yeah. Sure.
So, but she was like, yeah, they had a phone call. They called my references. Oh, you probably blacked out.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's just left your body floating above it.
But she was like, yeah, they called me and you have to know, like, how do you have the vehicle to get around with to pick everything up? Where do you store?
Her husband's a builder.
Like, yeah.
I will say afterwards on the way home, I was on Reddit trying to find how you would even know about this.
Uh-huh.
Because I could not find one. I mean, I've read people talking about how they bought mattresses this way. I could not find anything about how you become this person.
Okay, I have one more question. Do the I keep wanting to say insurance companies.
Yeah,
do the mattress companies, are they the ones that clean them or does she?
She does. Yeah.
Okay.
But she told us the whole process. Like, she pulls off the whole outer cover. Like, sometimes she fixes them.
Ours didn't need fixing.
No.
Right. If it needs fixing or something.
Washes it and then they do some sort of sanitize spray. I did read up on that in the Reddit thread that's a legit, there's like some way to actually sanitize the outside of a mattress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, it was used for less than 100 days. So unless you fucking pooped in it, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just...
In the mattress? Yeah. Cut it open and pooped in it.
Yeah,
like, and then had her fix it, quote-unquote.
And I will say, like, now that I know this, like, also, we get $25. So this is actually just...
DM us and we'll give you the link.
This whole long thing is like, we'll get you a hookup, guys. We have 25. Well, if you refer people?
Yes. $25 cash dollars.
Oh, my God.
So, like, our friend
like
Reva...
Reva
wants... I'm assuming
or $25 towards a new mattress.
I think she Venmos it to you.
Oh, that's even weirder.
I know, but I mean, I Venmoed her, but I will say, like, I will never buy a full price mattress.
Yeah. Well, and so
you will always go back to Mary Total Lou or whatever.
I will.
Mary Lou Total told us, like, she goes, yeah, the markup on mattresses is absolutely astronomical. Mm-hmm. So it's dumb to pay full price.
And you can go look at it. There's another guy in Grand Rapids, even closer, that does this also. And they, like, you're allowed to go. She said, sometimes people come and try five. Like, that's not weird. So, like,
she called it mattress Jenga. She said mattress Jenga 800 times during this. She goes, yeah, me and the kids play mattress Jenga all the time.
And she didn't upcharge. And, you know, I was going to tip her, but then the story got too long.
Like, do you tip a mattress?
No, but I felt bad. Well, when she was telling me, when the story just started about her marriage, I was like, I can just throw an extra whatever.
And then when you found out she made $38,000.
Yeah, then I did
those,
not.
Yeah.
Then it was fine. Okay, well, we already bought our mattress when we moved into this house, so we don't need one right now. But when we do, I'm calling Mary Lou Who.
And I would like to get your $25.
And a referral code, Jake and Abby buy a mattress.
it's amazing. It's my world has changed. This, like...
I laid in bed all day today because my back doesn't hurt.
Oh, that's nice.
But then, what was it? As we're driving home in silence, just eating our snacks.
Yeah, because it was one of those.
Yeah. Abby, all of a sudden, she goes, wait a second. I have an idea. And I go, what? She goes, what if we go to Casper, buy a mattress, and just say we don't like it, have Mary Lou come pick it up.
And then buy it back.
And then buy it back from her.
So
we can keep doing this and fill her up with inventory.
Oh, I was thinking so I could get a brand new mattress for $650.
Isn't that fraud?
I don't know. Is it?
I think it's fraud.
You get your money back.
Right. But yeah, that's fraud. So you buy something, you get your money back, but you give it to someone else so you can get it cheaper.
But I feel like that's their process. You return it and they don't pick it up.
I feel like
they make so much money that they can lose so many mattresses.
We talked about this, like how many, they also must be so confident in their product that they just send this out, but then they sell them to Mary Lou for like $100.
I see. But you're saying, so you, it would be the mattress you bought, not like a used one.
Correct.
From someone. Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like I want my Casper, I just go buy the $3,000 mattress.
Right.
Say I don't like it. They send it to Mary Lou and then I buy it back from Mary Lou. And then we both win. Right. Mary Lou wins and I win.
And you win.
We help out the little guy.
Yeah. All right. All right.
So
I mean, but you already got one.
So. I know. And that's great. So
Brie, are you looking for a new mattress?
You know, maybe for the guest room. Do they have queen size?
Yeah, so many more fulls than queens. Kings were harder to find.
Okay. So we do probably
like $250.
Yeah, at some point we probably need one. So we'll make sure.
Mary Lou will push the purple 4+.
Here's the only thing. If I do it, you guys have to come.
Oh, absolutely.
Me. I'm not going alone.
Well, and also I also want my $25.
Yeah. I'm here to collect. Listeners, this has been
a long story,
but
we want to thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks
for
letting me scrub in. Maybe I can watch an episode and then come in and
we would love that.
Even though I don't know who any of the characters are or anything like that.
I bet you could name 5 right now. Go.
Do they have to be alive?
No.
No.
Oh, Meredith?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's one. Hold up fingers for me.
I got it.
McDreamy.
Do you know his real name?
Derek.
Okay.
Yeah.
McSteamy.
Do you know his real name?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
The guy who
gets hit by a bus. You talk about him all the time.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
So does John.
Yeah. It must have been impactful for
them. It was. Christina.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Phoenix.
No.
Arizona.
Phoenix.
No.
Sorry, just watch Harry Potter.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. That was really good.
Okay.
So you can come back.
Yep.
Why don't you go lay in your new bed?
Yeah. Go take a nappy.
Might go get some hot dogs through the road home.
From where?
Yesterdog.
Oh, they're still open. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. We'll be back.
We'll be back. All right, we are talking about season 16, episode 1, 2, and 3, Nothing Left to Cling To, Back in the Saddle, and Reunited.
All right, so for monologues, you want me to start?
Sure.
The organs in the human body have entirely different functions. The cells which make up those organs act independently of each other. But in a healthy body, seemingly independent cells quietly depend on the functioning of the others. Because when one system stops working, the others can't function for long. Just as organ systems are codependent for survival, so are human beings. Studies have shown that our happiness and health depends on our relationships, not just functioning, but thriving. Sometimes the best we can do is bear each other's burdens and ease each other's pain and hold each other's hand in the dark. Meredith Grey. Ow. I almost did a really good job and then I smacked my hand on the table.
You still did a good job. When we get sick, our bodies launch a coordinated defense. It's called the immune response. Once a germ's detected, a team of white blood cells, proteins, and chemicals swarm to mount an attack. Why are you laughing? These cells catch up to the invaders and latch on, destroying them in their wake. Stop shaking.
I'm trying not to laugh.
No.
I'm fine.
Or at least that's what they're supposed to do. The body's ability to come back depends on what you have to fight with and how strong you are. After we've been sick or hurt, our bodies remember. The body remembers. Is that why you were laughing?
Yeah.
Okay. We learn from the past and develop tools to help us cope. Basically, the more we go through something, the better we can handle it. If it happens again, our bodies are prepared to bounce back, or so we think. Sometimes an unknown throws the whole thing off. Meredith Grey. Did get you going?
The way you said white blood cells.
White blood cells?
But I don't know. It just sounded weird in my head. Okay.
Okay.
In the earliest days of medicine, we're going back thousands of years, doctors spoke of healing as a reunion. When we close a patient, connect severed tendons, repair a liver, we're just reuniting the tissue, restoring what was there because before the illness. Ideally, it's a happy reunion, but things get tricky when we fail to make the right connection, or worse, when we reunite two things that were best kept apart. We do our best to reunite the healthy cells and tissue, and if we do our jobs right, there's another kind of reunion. The patients and their families, their loved ones, their lives. But those reunions can get tricky too. If you had troubles before going into the OR, they won't magically go away now that you're healed. Some things will get better, others could get worse. Because when you let your guard down, you're a lot more likely to go down a dangerous path. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We've got Joe Karev, major depressive episode.
Is that Jai?
I think so.
Krishna, left open femur fracture, broken right leg, watershed infarctions due to fat embolism syndrome.
Damn. Marie Krishna, open right humerus fracture, extremity paralysis.
I thought that said extremely paralysis. Lolly, influenza.
Angie Mole.
Carla, steam burn infection.
Wade Foltz, Lariche syndrome.
Reed Kim, fractured ribs, cardiac tamponade.
Simon, head injury.
Robin, papillary thyroid cancer.
There's so many of these. Tom Karasik, electrocution.
That one. Shirley Gregory, liver cancer.
D. Hill, dehydration.
Bertram Hollister, heart blockages.
Heather Peterson, skull fracture, brain death.
So-Yung Oh, dehydration.
Victoria Hughes, facial laceration.
Okay. We got rounds, everyone.
All right. You want to start?
Sure. Okay. So Joe spends time at an inpatient therapy where she and Alex talk about their fears and their feelings. Joe, worried that she is a burden for Alex, tells him that he has an out since they are not yet legally married. However, on the day that she leaves the facility, Alex is there greeting her in a suit and reproposes to her, saying that he is in it in sickness or health. Joe says yes. When she comes back to work, she's torn between two incredible job offers, one from Alex at Pac North to be a general attending and the same at the Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital. She ends up negotiating with Bailey to get the better job offer and will now be a general surgery attending. She also successfully does surgery on a patient who refused to see anyone but Meredith Gray. The only reason she agreed to let Joe do the surgery was because Meredith was overseeing via video chat.
Mare begins working community hours while she waits for her trial. She is picking up trash and occasionally checking on some of the other people's medical ailments. She meets with her lawyer, who believes that if Meredith can show regret, they won't pursue charges. However, when asked if she regrets what she did, Meredith cannot say that she does. The lawyer gets upset, and Mare finds out that they are going to take action against her medical license. While doing her community hours, she comes in contact with many individuals who are not able to get the health care that they need. She sends Schmidt to the hospital to bring her supplies, and she also sends many of them to Pac North and tells them that they should ask to see Richard Weber. Robin, who oversees the community hours, ends up going into Gray Sloan with Meredith, who guessed that the lump in her neck could be cancer and was unfortunately correct. Robin has papillary thyroid cancer. She is just one of the examples of Meredith has found on how the healthcare system is not supporting those who need it most.
Richard and Alex are jobless and on the hunt. Richard first works for an app that does in-house medical calls. Then he interviews for the chief position at Pac North, the hospital that is in last place in Seattle. The interviewer seems to think he is too old and should retire, so Richard convinces Alex to apply for the job. Alex gets it and hires Richard. Catherine is incredibly upset at Richard and feels that he chose loyalty to Meredith Gray over loyalty to his wife and her foundation. She is also upset that Bailey fired Richard and puts Tom Karasik in charge of her. After a hard day of unplugging the incorrect patient, Richard tries to call his wife, but she won't answer. His old
friend
from AA, Gemma, is working in the billing department at Pac North, and she asks to go out with him for dinner after work, and he agrees.
Teddy is very emotional after having her baby and is still holed up inside of her hotel room. Owen tries to convince her to come to his house, but she refers to it as his and Amelia's house. Owen knows what he must do, and he lists the house and tells Teddy he's looking for something for them and that he wants to help. Tom, who had professed his love again to Teddy after she had the baby, has told Teddy that he understands she might think that she's in love with Owen, but that he will be there for her when she ultimately changes her mind. Now that Tom has become the chief's chief, I think, isn't that what they called it?
Chief's chief?
Yeah. At the hospital, he begins giving Owen a hard time while Owen is trying to revive a patient. Tom tells Owen to stop charging the heart, that the patient is dead. And when Owen goes against his orders and does it one last time, the patient wakes up and Owen accidentally hits the paddles against Tom's nuts. He is electrocuted. I sat for a long time on if I should write nuts, penis, or not penis, gonads, because that's what he says. Owen goes to apologize to Tom later in the evening, and Tom tells him to stay 500 feet away and that he has filed a restraining order. Needing to escape from her house, Teddy brings Alice into the hospital, and her and Owen spend time hiding away in different rooms. Teddy thinks she is failing at a mom, and she really misses being back in surgery. Owen offers to stay at home with Allison and let her come back to work.
So this next round, we're going to read. We're not really going to talk about it. This we'll talk about in post-op. But just so you know what happened in the episode, when Jackson left Maggie in the fog, he stumbled upon two hikers who had fallen. The emergency response team shows up and helps him get to the hospital. Maggie is upset that Jackson left her, and Jackson is upset she doesn't understand that he helped two people. They are incredibly cold to each other. Jackson ends up asking Vic, the firefighter whose boyfriend had died last season, out on a date. They sit on a park bench and have a good conversation. And when they get back to the hospital, Maggie sees them talking. They have one final argument where Maggie declares that you don't like me and I don't think, let me start again. You don't like me and I don't like you and we are not friends. It's very clear that Jackson and Vic are now an item. They go on a long hike together and Jackson even stitches up her head after she has a minor injury. Wow, stutter, stutter.
You're doing great.
I struggled through that one.
While on a date with Link, Amelia and him discuss having a three-way. Amelia goes into Karina's office to invite her to this menage a trois. When Karina asks about her pregnancy, Amelia is taken aback and then realizes quickly that she has gained weight, has sexual urges, and cannot remember the date of her last period. Amelia is indeed pregnant, and although she plans to tell Link in a more organized manner, it ends up slipping out during a conversation in the stairwell. Amelia and Link end up talking more in the plant room, where they both tell each other their fears of why having this baby would be so scary. Amelia tells Link about Christopher, and after hearing that story, Link says that all of his fears have gone away because the one thing he cares about is making sure that she is okay. He says that if she wants to have the baby, he will be there to support her, and if she wants to go to the clinic for an abortion, he will drive her there. Amelia says, "Damn it, Link," and walks out of the room, leaving him confused. At the end of the day, they meet up again, and Link asks if he said the wrong thing. Amelia says that no. In fact, after him saying that she fears that she is a little bit in love with him, she tells him not to say it back, and they both agree that they think they would make a pretty wonderful kid and that they sort of want to meet that kid. They decide they want to let everyone in on the joy, and they tell their friends together about the baby.
Okay.
My first note is they should have better beds for inpatient care. The bed that Joe goes to lay on in the hospital, like, I feel like when you're sad, you would like a comfy bed.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to get you not in the bed.
I think that's often a lot of it.
That makes sense.
They don't want you
laying in bed.
Yeah. Mine three notes are: Joe is going into inpatient, Maggie is seeking for Jackson, Jackson is holding up people.
I don't even know what that means.
He was like holding people.
Oh, holding physically.
Yeah, like physically holding up people.
Oh, I said, we'll talk about post-op. I'm going to say that. Yeah, there's a lot. Okay, so there's a lot happening in these. A lot.
Yeah,
it's not a ton of high stakes.
And we should say the first episode is over weeks.
Yes.
Big time jump
it's
in the first
days,
episode.
It's 30 days, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So let's maybe talk about Joe.
Sure.
Quick, because I feel like what is lovely is that they do push it. Not that I wouldn't mind seeing her go through the whole process, but I feel like we had a lot of that last season, and it's nice to like see some growth.
Some progress. Yeah.
Not growth.
Progress. Forward. Yeah. And that she's putting in the work and she's getting better.
Yes. And I loved to, I felt like it was very realistic that like Alex is there and she just tries to be like, you can go, like you don't need this. And I love that he stays. I love that he re-proposes. I love too, that it shows his fear. Like, what is it me? Like, I've been with all of these women and they've all, you know, like had these hard times. Like, am I the problem? I think it's important that like, it shows that he still is afraid of that, but ultimately like it's not.
Yeah. What did you think about them? I really like the scene of them in therapy together.
Yeah. I thought I took a note on it. I liked the part then, Alex says something like, you made me feel. And she goes, I felt. Nobody makes you feel anything.
Yes, I loved that. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was just good that we saw like the stages in that he's like being brought in for a session and I'm sure multiple sessions.
And being open-minded about it.
Yeah. And I don't remember who says this, but I just have a note. She had a depressive episode caused by intense trauma. So I think that's just important for all of us to realize. It's said in the episode.
Yeah. And I love his proposal. I don't want an out. You hear me? You offered me an out and you were right. I was scared. So I thought about it. I love that he said, so I thought about it. And what I know is for sure, I'm a better man with you. Marry me again, please. I love that he acknowledges to her that like, you're right. I was scared and I did think about your offer, but I don't want
yes.
it. Because I think like that she wants him to think about that.
Yeah. I think I really like too before that when he is like proposing and his way to kind of like lead into it, she says she did the work here, but she's not magically fixed.
Yes.
And like kind of telling him like it's been 30 days, but like I have a lot more work to do. And he's still like, no matter what, I want you in sickness or health.
Yeah. I love when he says, I'm sorry, this is very stupid, but I have to do this. Like before he gets on one knee.
And then he leaves.
It's really fucked up. They really should have killed him in retrospect.
Oh, I know. It's so sad.
Also, I feel like Joe's doing just fine without him. She recovers so quickly.
Yeah. Well, does she?
I feel like it's not.
Well, I also feel like because it's like midway through and then maybe we have a little bit of like a back and forth and then the next season's COVID.
Yeah, I guess there's no time to dwell on it. I'm trying to see when his final season is.
You mean episode?
Yeah, sorry. Justin Chambers left midway through season 16. I just don't know what episode it is. Then 16th episode.
Okay.
But he leaves a few before that because there's those few without him.
Right.
Where he's visiting his mom.
Right.
But he's not.
But he's not. He's just leaving the show.
Yeah. So we've got, a whole 13 more episodes.
Which really means we have like two or three more podcast episodes with
him. Alex Karev.
So we really need to be intentional about how we talk about
him.
We should talk about him at Pac North.
Oh yeah, let's do it. I love that. Well, I love when Richard Knox, does he say something like, it's your mentor. Is this a way to treat your mentor?
I love how Richard throws his coat on the bed. He kind of like looks around and doesn't know where to put his coat. And then he just like tosses it on their bed.
I feel like I had a note about what he says to Alex, but he's just very disappointed in like the way he's living. Because I do appreciate like, Richard could retire. Catherine is rich. He doesn't need to work. But I love that even in this time that he's out, he works for an app, which like, you know, he's not good at with the apps and tech savvy.
No, of course not. And then it gets puked on.
Yeah.
He's not considering retiring anytime soon. And but I really sad, like this ageism.
I know.
That like, why do you want to work here? You're old. You should retire type deal that he ends up not getting this job, which Richard could turn this hospital around.
He loves teaching. He is the most dedicated. So you're right. That's like a good example of ageism. That's really fucked up.
Yeah. And so he goes to Karev and says, you have to apply and then hire me. Which he does. And I also think Karev was a chief. Mm-hmm. I also think Karev would like be able to turn that hospital around if he did stay and not go back with Izzy.
Yeah. I love all of the little like parts about how bad the hospital is. Like, hey, this is working. We don't have it yet. We can't use it. Like there's just so many, the dead guy in the waiting room.
So sad.
Yeah. So sad. I was about to be like funny. It's not funny.
Unplugged to the wrong person.
Wild. That's wild.
I loved in that scene where they're like, plug her back in. Then they're like, don't go towards the light.
Did you love those sister in part when the one brings in all of the crystals? And she's like, shit is bad in here.
Yeah.
I also love when they answer the phone. It's like, it's Heather, her spirit. Like, what a chaotic, like,
her purse got stolen.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I do feel like, what are the odds that it was stolen by someone with like a similar body?
Yeah. But I mean, she was quite disfigured.
Yeah, but like, wouldn't you think like hair, body? I don't know. I feel like even if your face was totally fucked up, I'd be like, where's her tattoos?
Oh, well, maybe she didn't have tattoos.
That's true. I'd be like, where? Look for the matching tattoo that we have. Is it her?
Where's her bleach blonde hair?
George? So, I mean, Alex is doing that. He's doing his thing. He'll never work for Grace Sloan again.
No, like, he won't. But he's trying. I feel like he's trying really hard for Pac North. And I love how he is like, Richard, I got you an office. And it's a supply closet.
and Richard goes, do better, Karev.
Yeah.
But also like very heartwarming. Also love that he like accepts that Joe took the job at Grace Sloan. Like, I do love that. I feel like he was pushing high for her so she would push high back.
100%.
It's like supporting her. Like, no, you're good enough. You can get this at Grace Sloan.
Right. And I don't think he blames her for... No. Staying at Grace Sloan.
Not at all. Bailey, I'm going along with Joe and her now being a general attending and her like working out. I love when she says to Bailey, is this a good time? Bailey goes, I have no good times. Like, Bailey is not okay.
Bailey is never okay.
We never mentioned that she fires Kadri.
So I have to write, I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to, I don't know why. Like, I have to write like something for a class about like, it's for my lifespan development class. And you have to like look at when in the development of like, did the problem occur? And I think I'm going to write about Bailey.
Oh, it'll be so interesting.
Like, cause like her childhood.
Yeah, you've got a whole episode on that.
Yeah. And so, but like Bailey is always saying she has no joy.
Right. And that she needs a sabbatical and like rest isn't enough. Like, I don't think when she's resting, she's resting.
I don't think she is either.
And I'd be curious, like, I wish they hadn't put so much of this new family life with her on Station 19.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd be curious how that's going with, like, Prue and everything. Is that her name? Prue or Rue? What's one of them is from The Hunger Games.
Prue is on Great British Bake Off.
Is Rue on?
I think that's Hunger Games.
And Euphoria. But what is her, the daughter's, Rue?
I have no idea.
I think it's one of those. Anyways, like she's not well. I understand her issue with what Meredith did. I think what's like, it's like she's just so angry that everyone is mad, like sticking, like no one is on her side. Like Richard wasn't on her side. Even I think she thought Catherine was, but then Catherine was mad at her for firing Richard.
Right, which was a big twist.
Yeah, like we thought that Catherine was fully anti-Richard, which I think she is a little anti-Richard, but she's more mad. She's also mad at Bailey.
She's mad that Bailey fired her husband.
Right.
Which I think both things can be true. I think Catherine can be mad at Richard and also mad at Bailey for firing her husband.
Yeah, totally.
But also, Catherine, not great that you put Tom in this position. Like, as Bailey punishment? Probably did the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes no sense to put Tom in that role. I feel like that we've been like, what? I mean, Kadri, we don't know anything about her outside of the hospital. We've not had a backstory or anything. I will say, though, I really liked the speech she gave.
Oh, I felt so bad for Kadri.
I know, and I love this idea, though, which I think is really true. It kind of felt like us as viewers now being like, we're here for Meredith Grey.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Right?
I should play that, make a TikTok of it, be like us talking to the producers of Grey. Like,
yeah.
We came here for Meredith Grey. I should make a TikTok.
Well, will also, it go viral? Can we? Yes, you should do that. Okay, let's like back it up a little bit because Bailey ends up bringing in the interns or whatever. I think they're residents now. And, you know, DeLuca and is like, I made Meredith Grey. I made Karev. Like, I can do that for you too, which is always like the thing Bailey goes back to, which I agree. But also like now you've made these doctors, they want to like learn from those doctors.
Right. Not yes, exactly.
And
she's holding so much against DeLuca.
Yeah.
Like
I did think there was a good like training moment in surgery that Bailey did. Like it reminded me a bit of old Grace where she's like, what are you going to do? Like when that patient
Joe
was
needed
bleeding.
That pressure. Or no, not Joe. I mean,
Helm.
Yes. Sorry.
Well, and then Helm ends up having to step back and DeLuca comes in and fixes it all or whatever. And like, and to me, I was like, okay, she's creating another.
Richard did that back in the day. Yeah.
Right.
There was good teaching. I agree. I also love then seeing DeLuca teach to Schmidt with the wire thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I just think she just is, I mean, we learn about it. There's that whole speech after Meredith gets freed of her charges when her and Richard kind of talk outside of that like courtroom thing or that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember it's that issue she has with this, like this loyalty to Meredith despite rules, and Bailey loves rules. Like she follows things by the guidebook. And I just think that she thinks like personal lines have been crossed. Like Richard is acting as a father, not as like a medical person. And she's not wrong. I think it's like, it's like she's not wrong, but also that doesn't mean Richard is wrong. I don't know.
Well, I think what becomes complicated with Bailey is like now she's on a rampage.
Right.
So like Cadre comes in and gives this speech. And I feel like in seasons past, you know, like an Izzy would give a speech like that or something, be like, you're being inappropriate. This is like, then fine. Fuck
you're fired.
You. You're fired.
Yeah.
So yeah, what did you think about Cadre being fired?
I felt so sad. I'm wondering if it's final.
Yeah, I don't think Cadre comes back. I don't remember Cadre. Yeah. I remember Cadre for like a season.
We didn't know why she left.
Yeah.
And this is why. I think I felt really like, what if, like a true, she finally like spills her truth, like, which is so true. These people all chose it because of Meredith.
Right.
They wanted to study under her. And that would feel fucking, it feels like how it feels to watch Grey's and have Meredith taken out of the show. It's like, that's what I'm here for. So I feel like it, I don't know. It was not fair of her to be fired for that. She just stood up to her boss. She should just got like some sort of punishment.
Yeah.
Not fired.
But that's what I mean. Bailey's on a rampage.
Yeah. I was glad that that one patient like let Joe do the operation.
Yeah.
Even without Meredith. Because that was also a little ridiculous. Like, it'd be one thing if Meredith was at another hospital. It's like, okay, then go to that hospital. But like, your doctor cannot operate on anyone right now. Like,
right.
She's, you know, so... Did she remind you of Chessie from...
She is Chessie.
Perfect. Okay, good.
I've been... Yeah, I have a note that, that... Oh my God, Chessie's here. Yeah,
she looks
no, that's
great.
Chessie. Yeah.
I mean, she was very yellow.
Oh, yeah, the, very the jaundiced.
Liver,
yeah,
the liver issue.
And so, like, Joe does a great job. I feel like... Okay, I want to say something about these episodes. I feel like there's a lot going on, but I also feel like nothing happened.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like... And I'm wondering if we're like last episode at the end of last season when we were, well, we were talking about it in post-op, but we were like, we kind of rated the whole season. If you want to hear it, become a $10 patron.
Yeah.
But we kind of talked about like, we felt like that was maybe like the last decent season mm-hmm. of Grey's. And already, like, in these first three episodes, I'm like... Mm.
These ones feel more like the current show we're watching.
Yes.
Like, it just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, I don't want to watch Meredith not being a doctor. Or like,
and I think we felt that way when this came out.
Yes. I think this is building towards... I will say the episode with all the speeches is fucking good.
Yeah.
But, like, we're just building to waiting for that. I don't want Alex and Richard at a different hospital.
No.
I don't want Richard and Catherine fighting.
No.
Like, there's just a lot that I just could care less about happening.
Yeah.
And there's a lot in this season, too. Like, the... I know we're going to have that episode with Joe and her therapist, which mm-hmm. I did like. But I like it in the sense of, like, that's a really cool story. I like how they did that. It doesn't feel like it's in Grey's Anatomy. It feels like it's, like, some outside show.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
So all these things happening not in the hospital.
Yeah. Okay. What do we feel about... maybe let's talk about Teddy and Owen.
Yeah. Okay. That was maybe the only part of the show that felt kind of like... Oh, like Grey's, just because it was like them in the hospital being ridiculous. I will say we give Owen a lot of shit. Loved him offering.
I have a note that like, he's like, well, first of all, we should back up. He accidentally like charged to 200.
And it is an accident.
It is an accident to Tom Krasak's
Nads. My TV froze right when he'd like fallen into the blinds. And it was on this like horrible photo of Tom.
I was like, I don't remember that happening, but then I kind of do. And I was very shocked. But Tom ends up putting in a restraining order.
Do you think that's real?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it absolutely is. And so Owen's super annoyed by it. And Teddy, like, she's like, I don't know how to say this. I want to be like doing fine as mom. Like she's, but like you can tell she wants to be back to work.
Yeah, exactly. She loves her child, but she also misses work.
Yeah. And Owen's like, I'm tired of trying to avoid Tom. And like, you want to be here. Like, let's just
swap.
Let me
do this for you.
Let's swap. And I was really proud of Owen for doing that.
I agree. I think it's a great...
Owen's always wanted children.
Yeah.
Why not stay home with them?
Exactly. I feel like what I remember, though, is it doesn't go well. Like,
does it not?
Like, I think... I feel like there's an episode where he, like, realizes how much women do. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he also then misses the hospital.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he offered it. I thought it was incredibly sincere. And...
I love that Teddy, too, was like... Great. And like goes to run away. And he's like, right now? She's like, yeah, I'm going to go get changed. Like, but also to me that I'm like, can you just like start working? Like these, like Joe just shows up. Teddy's like, I'm gonna go put scrubs
on.
And like, I feel like you can't do that. Yeah. How do you get paid? Like that doesn't make any sense.
There's no rules.
Shifts. Like obviously hospitals have to have shifts.
Right. There's no shifts at Graceland. You just show up.
You just show up when you want.
Remember the olden days when, is it Mare that's connected to the saline bag? She was at Joe's and she's drunk. And she's just walking around. Is that Mare?
Yeah, in the hospital. Yeah.
Oh, I love those episodes. I'm so excited when we're done with this podcast to like watch old Grays.
I know. I don't do it very often. Once in a while, I'll put on some old Grays and it's nice. Feels good.
So that's great. I was torn on how I felt about Tom's saying to Teddy, like, I get it. You're with Owen, whatever. But like, I'm going to be here when you're not, or you know what I mean? Like, also I'm like, so did they officially break up?
I believe they did. I will say I really loved when I felt so bad when Teddy walked in, or I'm sorry, when Tom walked in and he was just like, you had the baby.
I know.
And he knows immediately with like,
what happened?
Also so sad. Okay. Let's back it way up. Amelia brings in Leo and then Bailey calls all of the doctors to a incoming trauma, says, Teddy, you're excused from this. And then Amelia and Owen just hand off.
And she's got two babies.
Teddy just had a baby. And I loved how she's like, nurse, help.
I do love that Tom takes Leo. And it's like, again, Leo is a child. I guess it's Betty's child. But like, of two people he does not care, like, who cares for? And he's so nice to the little kiddo.
And he's just like, I did your, like, mom get back together with.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And he also says, Tom, he says he is funny and kind, generous with his money and tongue in bed.
Ooh.
And I thought about you because you love Tom.
Because I do love Tom.
Yeah.
Tom was at the birthing classes.
He said, in the meantime, we are friends. Yeah. And I said, God, he's just good.
I know.
But then he does the restraining order towards Owen.
But that, he did electrocute his balls.
But I don't think he really meant to. I'm not defending Owen.
What
but
if
like,
he thought
who
he did?
Would, but who would do that? That's insane.
Wait, I just saw, we're going to talk about this in post-op, but I just saw a note of yours.
What?
That said, Vic and Avery, dude, take some goddamn time. Your thoughts. Sometime we should do a bonus episode where you just read through your notes. Like, no context, just read them. Owen offered milk to her. Oh, yeah, that. When Owen offered to milk
Teddy.
And Amelia was like, why did you do that?
Yeah, I have hashtag freedom. Nice, Jackson. Yeah. Well, also, Owen lists the house.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Big, bold moves.
Teddy crying in that hotel room. Oh, I just felt so bad for her. And she can't. I get it. She doesn't want to move into the house that him and Amelia were in, sharing life. And so Owen is like,
he's unattached.
Yeah. It makes me really happy. I feel like he is trying to be there for Teddy and be supportive and offer to milk her.
The therapy. I can hear him doing the milk thing as like he's trying, you're tired, you're trying to be helpful and you don't quite understand what you said. Let's talk about...
Should we talk about Meredith?
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to talk about Amelia and Link last.
That's the same because I liked that.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, Mare's looking great this season. I feel like she's got good hair. She's wearing
great
casual clothes.
Jeans and a pullover.
Yeah. Her on the couch with like...
With the bandana around her neck.
Yeah. She just looks cute.
Yeah.
She's just loving it.
Okay. You liked her couch outfit? I was livid.
At the very end?
I was livid.
Wait, why?
With her...
With Amelia, when Amelia told her she was pregnant?
No. Oh. When DeLuca comes over and she has sweat and when she's like, I'm going to write. And she has like a cutoff t-shirt on with like a tank top.
Oh, I
with
didn't
like
see.
A high pony.
Even. Oh no, not the high half pony.
And then she had like the sweatpants and socks were fine.
No, the high half pony is inexcusable. It's the shih tzu haircut.
It was her stupid t-shirt and like tank top.
No, I don't like that. Her outfit, she had a great layered haircut. She's wearing jeans and like a little t-shirt.
Yeah.
I do love that Meredith Ride or Die never wore high-waisted pants.
No.
She never went there.
Never did.
Like, even with, like, work clothes when she'd wear, like, the blazer. And, like, they were always, not even mid-rise. I would still say low-rise. Like, that or she has a very long torso.
She might have a long torso.
It's true, but I don't think she wears high-rise pants.
No. I feel like in the beach scene, she has like higher pants on.
Okay, maybe some like flowy ones.
Yeah.
But her jeans are always low rise.
No, those jeans are. Remember, she's like on the beach in high.
Well, they're like loose.
They're loose jeans. Yeah, and I feel like they're a little bit higher. But I still don't think high rise, maybe mid rise.
Yeah, exactly. And her pajamas always low rise.
Yeah.
Which we had talked about this years ago and had a whole debate, like the listenership did.
About what?
Like not wanting to sleep in high-rise pants. Like people think that that's uncomfortable.
I like to sleep in high-rise pants.
Same. Mine go up to my tits.
Yeah.
So anyways.
I like to sleep in clothes. I want to be a naked sleeper, but like I can't.
This is weird because it shouldn't matter. I can naked sleep when I'm all alone.
I feel the same way.
Like I've done it at a hotel before.
Yeah, I feel the same way. But also when you have really large breasts, they like,
oh, they move around
yes. a lot. And it's just like easier to have them
contained.
They're
still flopping under the t-shirt, yeah. but at least it like appears contained.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, I slept last night in the pajamas you gave me for your wedding, like the night before your wedding, yeah, which yeah, is yeah. a weird sentence.
But you did. I did give you pajamas. Yeah.
Yeah. And they are like, it's like a crop top. Yeah. And like, they're these high-waisted shorts that like, they're really flowy. So like at times, if you're careful, if you're on your side, like everything's revealed.
Yes.
Like they're yeah. just, but the top also, I woke up, nothing was in it.
Oh no, just, never.
Yeah. I don't even know why I was wearing it. Like it was a scarf. Again, when I do that, I'm like, why am I even wearing this?
You know what I just quickly need to say about how I sleep? Okay. Oh, it's not fair. I wake up every morning and my hair is so insane. My whole life. Like, I am so, and I'm not being self-deprecating. No. I am so ugly when I wake up. Like, I'm so fucking ugly. I walk in to the bathroom. Like, if I have my hair back, if I have it down, it doesn't matter. It's 8 times bigger. It is touching the ceiling. And then there's like,
it's, has it gotten crazier since it's short now?
No, it's the same amount of crazy. And I'm like, what am I doing at night that is making it do this?
First of all, question, do you have a silk pillowcase?
No.
Okay, well, duh, that's number one.
I don't think it would change anything.
It would help.
Okay.
I swear by my silk. They have them at Costco.
Okay, but
what?
It doesn't match the rest of my sets.
You put it, do you have two pillows?
Yeah.
You put that one like under, and then when you sleep at night, you use it.
Yeah, but I have two pillows on each side, and they both, so John needs a silk pillow.
No, but you wouldn't see it because that one's under the top layer of pillows.
No, but they stand up, so you see it on top.
Oh, you do a vertical stack, not like a leaning against
each other? No, I do a lean against.
No one would see it.
I would.
Okay, well, then you keep your crazy hair.
But you know what I mean? And like, I'm always puffy no matter how many products I put on.
The older I get in the morning,
it's scary.
Like, what the fuck happened?
And John comes in and he says goodbye to me. I'm like, okay. And then I get up and go to the bathroom. I'm like, I am a squirrel. Like, I am absolutely a squirrel nesting. Yeah. And how does he love me? Because I'm so ugly. And again, I mean that in the like, as the day goes on, it's fine.
Right, but it's like what happens? Why is it as the day goes on, we look more normal?
And I always have one pant, if I'm wearing pants, one pant like up. Like,
I can't sleep.
I have my pantaloons on. And my hair is this big.
Yeah, no matter what product I use, my bags under my eyes are overtaking.
Yeah, so it's just not, whenever I watch these goddamn TV shows where people look lovely, bullshit. I have a TikTok to show you later.
Is it about the girl waking up with crazy hair? Yes. I was just thinking, I was like, oh, you're like that girl.
Yes.
Yeah, you could make that. Will you start taking a selfie for like the
I
next
will.
Week?
I will.
Okay. And then I would like-
I will send you all of them after a week.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can't wait.
Yep. I'll start tomorrow.
You'd be mad about what my hair is like when it wakes up, because it is-
When your hair wakes up?
When my hair wakes up, it's pretty smooth.
We also have different type of hair.
That's what I mean. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Your curls are fighting to exist.
Yeah. And I am constantly trying to put them away. What are we talking about?
Okay. Hi, John. We have to talk about Link and Amelia. That's our last thing.
No, Jake's gone.
John just looked like a 5-year-old kid when his friend left.
Is Jake still here?
Oh. Jake left. Okay. Amelia and Link. I think I found the source of why, and we were like, oh, we thought we really loved Link. It is this thing he says to Amelia in the plant room.
Yes. Do you have it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And okay. just in the entire way that he handles the entire pregnancy.
Yes.
Like his reaction is, I think, a dream reaction.
His initial reaction is total shock.
Which he doesn't say anything bad.
Which is normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just, he sits there and he takes it. I'm trying to find. Okay. I really liked, okay, this first, Amelia says, I know I, or she says she's afraid of it happening again. She talks about Christopher. She's like, no, I wouldn't survive it. I know it's my body, but you are free to have feelings.
I loved that line.
Yes. I think it's perfect because ultimately she knows it's her choice, but she wants to know how he's feeling. And then he says, what I know I don't want is anything to hurt you. That feels real to me. That feels tangible. And everything that scares me suddenly feels irrelevant. So if you want to have this kid, I will suck up my fears and be a dad. And if you don't want it, I'll drive you to the appointment. I'll be there in every way I possibly can. That's what I know. That is, men take notes.
Men?
We're pouring wine. John's pouring wine. Everyone's pouring wine. that is truly like the perfect response.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, okay, do we think it's, not as the deciding factor, but his response like shifts Amelia's like mind?
I think so.
Yeah.
She says that, well, I love that she says, damn it, Link. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I had made up my mind because I was scared of doing this alone. I was scared. And then you said things. Then I was less scared and a little bit in love. It's probably just the hormones. So I just think that she realized in that moment, maybe that she wouldn't be doing it alone.
Yes.
Oh, it's really beautiful.
I also loved just going back a little bit, but that Karina's like knows that she's pregnant. It's like, are you here about your pregnancy?
Okay, wait, rewinding to their date where they asked three things that you like would like to do for your diet. What could you name three things that you'd like to do for your diet? Or maybe just one.
Before I die?
That you haven't yet.
Oh, that I haven't yet? Well, can I have done it, but I want to be to do it again or be good at it. I want to take horseback riding lessons.
Ooh.
I was just talking about this the other day. Like, I want to be a horse girl.
I love that for you.
Yeah. But it's very expensive. I think it's actually, you can like lease a horse, I found out.
Okay.
You can like whatever. Well, I don't think that lessons are like that expensive, but it's like gear and shit.
Well, like to like have a horse and do it regularly would be expensive. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
For you.
Like, I've always, like, equine therapy would be really cool to, like, be a part of.
I can see you crying on a horse.
I didn't mean for me. I meant for other people. Like, but yeah, I would definitely cry on a horse. 100%. So that's maybe something I really want to do. And I really want to finish my novel that I started years ago.
The same story.
Same story. It's just been sitting there on my Google Drive.
I'm glad you didn't lose it.
No, I somehow got it onto my drive. Like that computer turned on one last time I saved it and then that computer died. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but maybe someday I'll get back to it.
Yeah.
It's still like rolling around in my brain every once in a while.
It would be good to get it out.
Yeah. So what about you?
I don't know. I'm going to
think on it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have something to say about that though. Link wants to surf a 20-foot wave.
Yep.
Ride a camel through the... Oh, I would like to ride a camel. Well, I've ridden a camel.
At a zoo.
At a zoo. Through the Sahara. Oh, there's a lot of like travel I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't feel like getting into that.
In the time of year it is right now for me and I travel, I'm like, I don't want to travel. I would like to hibernate.
I don't want to do that. But then he says, cure Parkinson's. And I said, why doesn't he work on the Parkinson's trial?
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. They forgot they wrote
that. They forgot they wrote that. Because, like, it would be perfect if he was working on that trial then.
Yeah. I love that Amelia says that hers is a three-way.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that. Like, I get that. And I love how he's like, wait, you haven't?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I love that, I don't know, like, well, clearly she doesn't drink. So they weren't, but they had that date. And then were they, like, at the end, like, okay, so why don't you go invite Karina?
I think so, yeah.
I love that they had that kind of a date.
And then she ends up being like, I'm pregnant.
Well, when she's like, your breasts have gotten larger. And she's like, wow, I didn't know the feeling was mutual.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not embarrassing. It's very cute. But I love that she just is open about that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she finds out. Also, I guess I just, back to Link.
Uh-huh.
He's not perfect. And
no.
Like, especially in viewing this, like, this is very, like, comes up fast. She doesn't quite really know who he is. Like,
right.
And I get why she says no when he proposes, because, like, she wants him to be a dad with her, but, like, I don't know that they're endgame. You know what I mean? Like, she's never like, well, I love you forever.
Well, no. And she was like, it's so ironic because I just said, like, let's not.
Let's take this slow.
Pretty much. Yeah. And then they fast forward to having a baby together. I love that Maggie knows, and she's the only one who knows.
Yeah.
And then Amelia in the third episode ends up in the beginning saying, like, I'm keeping the baby. And then Maggie's like, okay, didn't know we're doing. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't know we were doing this. And then she asks if Meredith knows, and she says, like, no. And I love that Maggie's response is, like, except me, who somehow knows about everyone's wombs, because she knew about Teddy's.
Right.
She, like, I feel like Maggie is always the one who has to, like, hold on to these really intense secrets.
Yes.
For people.
Maggie made that great statement too about, like, pretend you're, it's a mission, or like,
yeah.
She was like trying to get her to not, which I can get that feeling. I mean, I've never been pregnant, but it must feel like you have a secret to everyone you're talking to.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine talking to you and, like, knowing that, like, that would feel like holding a secret.
Oh, yeah.
Like Amelia being pregnant. She's just like, I feel like I'm keeping something from everyone.
From everyone. There was someone in my life, I'm not going to name who, but they were pregnant and they hadn't told people yet. And we were at a function and they were like, people will probably know. Like if I say no thank you to like a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And so they made me make them like a spritzer, but I just put LaCroix in it. So they like carried that around.
Perfect.
Because I knew. And I'm like, yeah, like it would be really difficult.
Every family functioning, I make sure to immediately grab
a
drink.
Yes, I am not pregnant.
Yeah, because like it just happens to everyone where they're like, are you anytime? And I'm like, wine in my hand, everyone. So I don't know. It's very cute with them. I am happy, I guess, that like she feels safe to have a baby with him and they're going to be partners. And the thing I was going to say, I'm like not someone that is excited about having kids. Like I probably will in this lifetime, but it's not like I'm like, can't wait, whatever. I like the way that they phrased it. It felt very like realistic to me of them being like, we would make a cool kid. I want to meet that kid.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like things when people say in like movies and stuff, like, I just can't wait to be a mom and like all these things. And like, I don't really relate to those, but the idea of like wanting to meet the kid, that is like an idea that I can relate to. Does that make sense?
And no, it totally makes sense. It kind of is, it makes it about the child, not about you.
Yeah, it just feels very like more exciting. Like I was like, that's what I could get down with, is like being excited to meet that human.
Yeah.
So I really, that felt like a very realistic and like more unique take.
Yeah, I liked that. Oh, the last thing I will say about that, I loved Meredith's response. I love how like they're sitting on the couch and you know when you have something to say and you don't know when to say it, and then Amelia's just like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, and we're having a baby, and like looks to Meredith and she like shoves him aside and is just so excited for them and like didn't know we were here, but immediately is happy. And she's like, of course I'm happy. I'm going to be Auntie Mare. Like, and I feel like a lot of people feel that way with like when someone announces that they're pregnant. I mean, especially people who like can, how do I want to say this? Like, we're not talking about MTV's like, what was that called when you were had a baby at 16?
16 and pregnant?
Yeah. That one.
Where are you going with this?
I feel like most people are happy for people who are pregnant, unless it's like 16 and pregnant, is what I'm saying.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't know, just like, I feel like Mare could have very easily been like, what are you two doing?
Right. And instead she was just so excited.
Yeah.
And I think Amelia thought she'd judge her for it.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think Amelia feels like she's like this young little sister still that like makes mistakes, but that's not how Mare sees her. So
I miss Derek. Imagine how excited Derek would be.
Oh, that would be a good episode.
Yeah.
He'd give her some like look.
Yeah.
And be like, you're going to be a great mom. Oh.
Yeah.
I do. Fuck. Should I watch Old Grace?
Probably.
I haven't since we started this podcast. I've not watched one old episode.
What one would you watch?
I think I'd go back to season one and two.
I would watch the bomb episode.
Oh, is it good? Oh, obviously. Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Oh, is it good? Is it good television?
I've only deep dived it. Oh, God. Okay. We should have went backwards.
So it got better and better and better. And the storylines were super confusing.
Yeah. All right. That's been enough.
What?
We still have to talk about Vic and Jackson. And
okay, Posta. Wait. I have like a few things
okay,
to say.
Okay, tell me your notes.
Okay. Well, first of all, we didn't talk about Gemma, which I think we should just mention.
She's trouble.
That's all we have to say. Okay, great.
So we addressed
that.
Do you think she has ulterior motives?
Yes.
Same.
Okay. And I wanted to briefly, this wasn't in the rounds, but I do think we should talk about like Nico and Schmidt and like him staying with him at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was really nice in the beginning, but then I was like, wait, Nico, because he said, don't dismiss yourself to Schmidt. And I was like, wow, look at him like being super nice. But then he's like, demand more of yourself, Levi. And like, I'm sticking around.
The bar is low.
Yeah.
Like anytime Nico does something that's like not even nice, but just like not mean, yeah. We're like, wow.
Wow.
I will say my favorite line in these three ones was when Levi is like, I'm a Gryffindor. When he's talking about... yeah. Like, of stealing all the hospital supplies. Who does he say that to?
Because then Jackson. And Jackson.
He's a Gryffindor also.
Wait, we didn't even talk about Meredith.
What about her? She's going to write some stories. She's treating all the patients. We said it in rounds.
The final thing, two final things. Her making out with DeLuca still grosses me out.
I don't know why.
It's so gross. In the beginning of episode 3, I looked in this in notes and trivia to see if there was a goof. There was not. Zola comes up to talk to like Maggie at the table and they're like, go get your backpack or something. And Zola goes, okay. And she goes to suck on her juice box and it makes like the sucking noise sound effect, but the straw is like a Capri Sun is on the outside. So she wasn't even... drinking.
Fucking, what a terrible method actress.
Yeah. It wasn't even drinking out of a juice box.
Child actor.
Child. Props fucked up is what they did.
Exactly. Yeah.
The props department. Okay, we can move on. This is like an 8-hour episode.
Well, we're going to talk about hashtag freedom in the pro stop. So,
pro stop.
I think the show got bad when they introduced like Instagram and texting. Like, it should have stayed in the 2000s, yeah. The early 2000s.
It should have ended a couple seasons ago.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Once it gets, like, modern like that, I'm like, no. Jackson doesn't have Instagram.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ew.
Gross, Jackson.
Okay, notes and trivia. This episode's title originated from the song Nothing Left to Cling To, originally sung by the Buckinghams.
Scored 6.51 million viewers.
It picks up moments after the previous one to provide answers to the cliffhangers, then features time jumps of 1 week at a time.
This episode marks the addition of Jake Borelli, Levi Schmidt, Greg German, Tom... Is it German or German?
I don't know.
Tom Krasick, and Chris Carmack. Atticus Lincoln to the main cast.
Victoria Hughes appears on this episode as part of the season's goal to blend the worlds of Grey's Anatomy and Station 19 together naturally instead of only a few crossover events.
Alex Landy is upgraded to recurring guest star after having recurred as co-star throughout season 15. Who's that?
I don't know. Camille, I was going to ask that, but then I was like, I don't need our listeners to know. We don't know who things are.
Keep Look going.
Camilla Luddington tweeted that fans watched her and Justin film all of the outdoor scenes.
Oh, is that Nico? Oh, that's Nico.
Oh, okay. For this episode, the fans swore not to release any pictures and they kept their promise as no episodes were leaked to social media before the episode premiered. That's fun.
Yeah. This episode title originated from the song Back in the Saddle, originally sung by Aerosmith.
It scored 6.08 million viewers.
It is the 25th episode of the series directed by Kevin McKidd.
Ada Luz P... Is that an L? Pla? Pla? appears as Carla in this episode. She was also credited in the previous episode but did not appear then. Given that both episodes feature similar scenes shot on location in Seattle, it is possible that the scenes were shuffled around and the credits were not adjusted accordingly.
This marks only the third time in the entire series that two current main characters are employed together on a screen someplace other than Graceland Memorial Hospital or any of its predecessor hospitals. The first time was when Shane Ross and Christina appeared working together at Klossmann Institute for Medical Research at the end of Fear of the Unknown. April Kepner and Jackson Avery were also seen together on the first day as interns at Mercy West in Unbreakable.
Wouldn't it also include when Christina was interning in Minnesota or was working in Minnesota? I feel like they didn't include that.
But they said main characters, like main cast members.
Christina is a main cast member.
But two.
Oh,
they said two
I see,
current main.
This episode's title originated from the song Reunited, sung by Peaches and Herb.
It scored 6.9 million viewers.
Alyssa Milano and Halle Marie Combs guest star on the episode as a part of ABC's cast from the past week, during which cast members from television shows from the past, oh yeah, I meant to know this, are reunited with, are reunited with cast and crew on current ABC shows. In this case, Charmed stars. Halle and Alyssa are reunited with Krista Vernoff and Andy Reeser, both of whom worked on Charmed as writers and are now writers and producers on Grey's Anatomy.
Their playing sisters on Grey's Anatomy is a direct reference to their characters on Charmed.
Not only do the first names of the characters begin with the same letter like they did on Charmed, the first letter of both the first and last name are also references to their Charmed characters. On Grey's, the characters' first names start with an H while they start... This is so... Their names are similar.
Okay. According to the whiteboard in Heather's room, the episode takes place on October 2nd, 2019.
This is Sophia Ali's last episode as Dr... We didn't know her name was Dahlia.
No.
Caudry. She left the show to pursue acting roles in New Zealand.
Getting the fuck out of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
What was that?
You hit the table.
It was my zipper. That scared me.
There's going to be so many bad sound effects in this episode,
I'm
listeners.
I'm so sorry. Whatever. What can you expect for a season premiere as
our 16th season?
As the 16th. I can't do anything about it. As I'm trying to be close enough to the mic, but my belly is hitting the table. As the 16th season of Grey's gets worse, so does our podcast.
Yes.
Okay? I'm going there. I'm going to rate it a 5. I did not care for these episodes.
No, I did like the Amelia.
I'll do a 5.5.
I'm going to do 6.
Okay.
I'm going to give the Catherine Fox Award to Alex Karev. He reproposed to Joe, which was loving. He went to therapy with her. He became chief of another hospital. And the end.
Okay. I'm going to give it to Link.
Fuck. Okay, yeah, Link's better. I forgot about him when
But maybe we give it to both because Alex is leaving soon. And yeah, how many more times is he going to get it? He's definitely not getting it on the episode where he leaves.
No.
Maybe he will. Thank you, listeners.
Yes.
For being here.
Stick around for post-op. We're going to talk about Jackson, Maggie, and Vic. Otherwise, time of death is 2118.
Beep.